Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by BetterHelp.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. Today, I wanted to talk to you about a recent study that found a strong correlation between people with dark triad traits and the phenomenon known as signaling, specifically virtue and victim signaling. This is something that could hopefully have some impact on the way pathological narcissism is viewed by the academic world, particularly the way it manifests, so I thought we could talk about it on the show today. As listeners of this show know, the dark triad is what the traits of narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism are called when they appear together in someone's personality. As listeners of this show also know, it can be argued that these things are all really the same thing, different manifestations of pathological narcissism. A study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology investigated whether people who score high in the dark triad traits would be more or less likely to engage in what is known as virtue signaling and victim signaling. They defined victim signaling as a public and intentional expression of one's disadvantages, suffering, oppression, or personal limitations. They defined virtue signaling as symbolic demonstrations that can lead observers to make favorable inferences about the signaler's moral character. You may be familiar with one or both of these things, as virtue signaling in particular is often referenced on social media and in pop culture. The definition most are familiar with for this kind of signaling actually goes a step further than how it's being defined here, with most people defining it as being intentionally misleading or manipulative. Saying someone is virtue signaling is usually not a compliment, even if the virtue they are signaling is considered sincere. It was the position of those conducting the study that, though in many situations claiming victimhood comes with negative connotations, it's becoming increasingly positive or even advantageous to claim victim status in Western culture. It often results in resource transference, which means that people who are seen as victims are given things. Money, jobs, services, and other things of this nature, as well as validation, compassion, sympathy, and more. There are, of course, very real and amazing benefits for true victims coming forward, such as all of those things, as well as justice and support. However, the study focused on those attempting to manipulate and take advantage of these things by using signaling to achieve what they called non-reciprocal resource extraction. Non-reciprocal means not mutual. The person extracting the resources is not expected to do or give anything in return. They are receiving these things based solely on their status as a victim. It's probably not surprising to anybody that narcissistic people would want to get in on that or that they would be good at it. Researchers hypothesized that combining virtue signaling and victim signaling together into what they termed virtuous victimhood would result in maximum resource extraction. It would result in the best chance for getting things. That makes sense because most people feel sorriest for or want to help the most a good person who has been hurt or wronged. This goes along with something we sometimes refer to on this show as the perfect victim syndrome, which is the unfortunately widespread position that if someone has any flaws, if they've made any mistakes, if they've made any bad choices or decisions, they're not really a victim or they must have deserved or even caused what happened to them. The perfect victim syndrome is very harmful to actual victims, by the way, who may be blamed when just trying to take honest accountability, or they might become afraid to be honest at all. Now, in this same light, if someone is perceived as a virtuous victim, any mistakes or bad choices that they make after their status of a virtuous victim is known, these things are overlooked or they're downplayed. The researchers referred to this as moral immunity, meaning that if someone is perceived as a victim, any means they may use to achieve justice or retribution are considered morally justified, even things that would not be considered morally justified otherwise. For example, if someone is a victim of a crime and they were to use violent or illegal means to get justice or retribution, this may be considered by many people to be okay, even though it would not be okay in a different situation. If someone is a victim of a con man and so then they con him in return, most people are not going to think the victim's out of line. They're not going to feel sorry for the con man. This dovetails with the idea of a virtuous victim being more likely to receive resources and can explain, for example, the reason that animal and children's charities are always so popular. There is perhaps no more innocent victim than an animal or a child. The researchers guessed that people higher in dark triad traits would be more likely to engage in signaling this so-called virtuous victimhood, and not surprisingly, they were right. Unfortunately, believing people to be virtuous and above reproach, giving resources with absolutely no expectation of reciprocity of any kind, holding people completely blameless and not responsible for anything they do, no matter what it is a wonderfully supportive environment for true victims, but it's also the perfect situation for pathologically narcissistic people who are more likely to use false or exaggerated signals in order to gain these things. Perhaps most importantly, the study found elements that suggest the use of the virtuous victim signal by dark personalities was not unintentional, but strategic. This means it was not accidental or coincidental, but purposeful and done with the intent of gain. Of course, no one familiar with pathologically narcissistic people is going to be surprised by that one. It is often assumed that anyone with a mental health challenge doesn't know what they're doing, but this is not always the case at all. Intentional manipulation is part and parcel to this particular mental health challenge known as pathological narcissism and to several others. The question of why it's happening may be the subject of debate, but as listeners of this show have heard me say many times, in practical terms, it really doesn't matter why. Now, even when keeping in mind the fact that any study relying on narcissistic people to self-report is possibly untrustworthy because of their propensity to lie or present themselves a certain way, the results of this study are significant. They're also validating to anyone who has dealt with a pathologically narcissistic person that presented themselves as a victim and found that no one believed them about the narcissist's true behavior or character. There are likely many people listening to this right now or reading the study and saying to themselves, I knew it. This study may perhaps help shape a new understanding of the different manifestations of pathological narcissism moving forward so that covert narcissism is included in an important way somehow. This is one of the biggest roadblocks to better recognition. Not all narcissists come across as egotistical, arrogant, and vain. Not all, by far. The study has its limitations in this area, of course. For example, it operates on the traditional idea that the different labels of the dark triad are all separate and independent things, rather than the connected and interdependent branches of the same tree, and in keeping with that, it included verbiage to the effect that presenting oneself as a victim is probably something narcissists would balk at or would not be comfortable with. But even within that traditional or outdated framework, we know that while this might be true for some narcissistic people, it's not even close to true for all of them. So a sweeping generalization like that is still somewhat damaging to the overall understanding of pathological narcissism. Still, the existence of this study and many others that have come out in the last few years demonstrate that there is a realization in the scientific and academic communities that the accepted understanding of narcissism needs to be revisited, and that is very promising. Anyone who has dealt with a pathologically narcissistic person of any type, whether they are overt, covert, predominantly psychopathic, predominantly histrionic, however they have presented, could have predicted the results of this study, and they have been trying to get the various authorities to listen to them for a very, very long time. It's enormously validating for hundreds of thousands of people or more to see that they're finally starting to be heard. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, through email, and through Skype. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book and appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I teach workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in seeing what we are running at this time, you can visit littleshaman.org to go ahead and do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by betterhelp.com and littleshaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.